I wouldn't have been doing it for so long if I didn't enjoy being so impactful to these young women, not just young women, but athletes in themselves, and using this vehicle, which is basketball, to do that.
On this episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we are joined by Desma Thomas Batiste, the assistant coach at Florida State University, and one of the most respected voices in women's basketball. A standout at the University of Miami, she finished her career as one of the program's all-time greats before playing professionally overseas in places such as Italy, Sweden, Turkey, and with the Birmingham Power. After her playing career had ended, she moved to the collegiate level with stops at Dillard University, Rhode Island, the New York Liberty, Florida International, St. Thomas, University of South Florida, Florida Atlantic, Cleveland State, and now Florida State. Along the way, she has helped guide teams to conference championships, NCAA tournament runs, and player development success stories. Known for her recruiting expertise and ability to build winning cultures, Coach Thomas Batiste has become a leader both on and off the court. Her diverse experience gives her a rare perspective on what it takes to succeed in the game for the long haul. In this episode, we discuss what she learned after her collegiate and professional playing careers had ended that helped her pursue coaching, certain patterns she has noticed in programs that succeed long-term versus those that struggle, and advice for coaches and players on preparing for life beyond playing basketball. Please welcome to the podcast, Desma Thomas Batiste. Dr. Dish Basketball is revolutionizing basketball training with the number one selling shooting machine in the world. Our innovative systems are the only training solutions that deliver more reps, motivation, and fun, empowering coaches and players to elevate their game faster than ever before. Featuring advanced analytics, immersive game-like features, and an easy-to-use interface, our state-of-the-art shooting machines are the preferred choice for progressive teams worldwide. Ladies and gentlemen and coaches out there, thank you for tuning in. Another episode, the Rising Coaches Podcast. Alan Major, Doug Caputo here to chat with you today. Alongside us on the podcast, we are joined by someone who's been very well-versed in the basketball world, has a tremendous background, and the current women's assistant coach for Florida State University. Go Noles, right? Coach Desma Thomas Batiste. Coach Batiste, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Doug Allen. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we appreciate you. Thank you.
As I mentioned, I mean, with your background, your history in basketball, not even just talking about your coaching career, which you've had a tremendous coaching career so far, been with some phenomenal programs. I know you've had a head coaching stint, but on top of that, you've also had a phenomenal playing career too, right? The University of Miami, essentially starting there and then going on to just having a professional career, which we can talk more on. But on that, and I have to make sure to mention to everybody also, the all-time leader in three-point shooting at the University of Miami and back-to-back Big East champions. That's a big deal, right?
Flamethrower.
It is, but no one remembers that, so.
It's good. It's a good humble brag to the players every now and then.
I tell you, sometimes they're like, Coach, what did you do? I say, hey, this is what I tell them. This is my line. You better Google me. Yeah. You better go and Google my name.
There you go.
Put some respect on the name.
No doubt. But or just have a shoot, or have a shooting contest, and let's just hash it out with a shooting contest.
That too. Yeah.
It never goes away. It's like riding a bike.
Right. That is correct. That is correct.
But looking back over your career so far, from Miami to the WNBA to coaching and multiple and some strong programs, what has been some of the defining moments that realized or just made you think, like, before you got into coaching, this is what I want to do, this is the avenue I want to pursue?
I think it definitely started in high school, being able to have some phenomenal coaches that believe in me, that poured into me, that allowed me to believe in myself and the things that I was capable of doing and the things that I had the potential to be able to do. So I'll start there just from junior high on, having some phenomenal coaches, because I didn't start playing basketball until my seventh grade year. So that's late for most people. Really? But yeah, I was an athlete, but I never touched a basketball until my seventh grade year in junior high. And that's because it was Coach Snell that saw something in me in the hallway, this long, lanky kid in the hallway, and asked me to come out to try out for the team. And it's been a blessing ever since. That those things for me are some things that I carry all of the time. Having those coaches that kind of like really believe, even coming out of high school, Coach Fern Labate believed in me after me having my ACL. I tore my ACL my senior year in high school. And Coach Fern Labate believed in me and my potential. And then I was able to go to the U. And so moving on from there, just being able to have those opportunities to play in the league, the opportunity to go overseas and play, which, by the way, was the only thing back in my day that you had the opportunity as a female to go and do, is play overseas. Women's basketball has come a long way and the support has been tremendous. So I'm looking forward to some really good years with the WNBA and the opportunity for these young women to actually reap the benefits financially of their talents and the potential of the league to like really blossom into even more.
Yeah, 100%. Was there a certain coach? It sounds like all the coaches, the way they coached you made you or inspired you to do it. Was there one particular person that kind of nudged you and said, you know what, you should think about coaching? Because sometimes, a lot of times players will think like coaching's the last thing they would think about doing. Yeah. or sometimes players are locked in on it, knowing that when they get done playing that they want to coach. So it's typically one of the two extremes that me and Dougie hear about on this platform. But was there a person that kind of nudged you to and saw you as a coach before you saw it yourself?
That is a great question. And I talk about this all the time because when my body was like, maybe you need to hang it up and not play anymore. That was the furthest thing from my mind is coaching. I graduated and I still wanted to play and I had the opportunity to continue to play, but overseas was hard for me. It was one of those things that some people love it. They'll tell you, but it was a hard thing for me. I tell these young people now, you got it good. Because when you're far away, it doesn't even seem like you're far away because of all the technology that you have and you can communicate with your folks 24/7 and you can see them like we're looking at each other now. But I didn't have that in my day. The cell phone was a luxury back in my day. And I might be dating myself a little bit. But to your question, she wasn't my coach, which is crazy. She was at the University of Miami, Geneva Morgan. I had to give her props. I got to call her name out. She was an assistant coach at the University of Miami at the time, but she did not coach me. But we had a great relationship, like a mentor-mentee type of relationship. And she just called me one day. And again, I don't call anything coincidence. Yeah, it was right when I was thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I don't want to go back overseas and play. I don't think I can do this anymore. It was that final injury that had me that way. But what am I going to do with this degree that I had? Sports management degree, which back then it was like, what do we do? Now it's, you could do it. You could take it anywhere. But Geneva called me and she asked me, what am I doing? I gave her the rundown and she said, do you think you might want to coach? And even hearing it, I was like, really? I don't know about that. And I was like, I don't have any experience with that. And she was like, you're a ball player, basketball. You know what you liked and what you didn't like, talent, because you were talented. So I think you'll be great at it. And I still was like, I don't know. And so she went on to ask me a series of questions of whether or not I wanted to stay in the hometown in Florida, different things like that. And I was just like, wherever opportunity would take me. And that's where it started. She was like, I know a coach that's looking for an assistant. I could get your foot in the door, but you have to nail the interview and get the job. And I'm going into year 23 now.
How about that? Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So
it's been great.
Sounds like the interview went well.
It went well. And it's been great. My first couple of years was at Dillard University and HBCU at the NAIA level in New Orleans, Louisiana. And Coach Mark Cook gave me my first taste of what was to come. He let me spread my wings. and really just hit the ground running, go with my instincts, learn on the run, and really poured into me as well as a head coach and a mentor when I first started coaching.
That's exactly what you need in somebody too. From a head coach, to be able to sit there and for them to be able to, a young person who doesn't necessarily have the coaching background that they may have, for them to sit there and say, hey, this is exactly what you got to do. They throw a lot on your plate and at times it can be overwhelming, but then to be able to sit there and look back on it as you're doing now and be like, this is, it gets your foot in the door and not opportunity to be able to learn a lot. And I feel like that's the best way to learn things is get fully immersed into something, get thrown into it and trial and error. Like you got to make mistakes in order to be able to succeed in something. So it's great to hear that.
You had to do everything as an assistant.
I had to do everything.
For sure.
It was him and it was me. Yes, it was him and then it was me.
So you get that. In a healthy way, though, you get that no job is too small mentality right out of the gates.
Which correct. Is
something that you always carry with you if you start out that way. So
true servant leader.
Absolutely.
True servant leader. Yeah. He put me in a position to be great at the things that I could do the best. So all of the player development, the strength and conditioning, the preseason, the postseason, all of those things. And then, of course, learning the recruiting side of it, I got all of that from him. And he was willing to sit with me and really point me in the right direction with all of it. And I'm truly grateful for Mark.
You're getting chills over there, Mage.
Oh, man, this is so good. We're not stopping right now, but we could stop right now because we got a pod full and just that right there. But this is great.
If there was one piece, so of course, taking all of that from Dillard, getting the opportunity to get your feet wet and, of course, immersed into basketball. If there was like a piece, now I'm sure you could probably give us a whole book on it, but like one piece that you really would say and maybe take that and give it to anybody or any younger coaches out there. Is there anything you remember from that experience? Whether it was your playing experiences, anything that you learned that like seeing it from a different perspective as a coach or that opportunity at Dillard, is there anything that you would maybe tell younger coaches or something that you learned that you'd be able to give on to them?
I think one of the biggest things, and I think even now more so than ever, everyone thinks it's easy. It's a glamorous job. And it can be because I love what I do. I wouldn't have been doing it for so long if I didn't enjoy being so impactful to these young women, not just young women, but athletes in themselves, and using this vehicle, which is basketball, to do that, to help inspire them, encourage them, right? And so I think one of the biggest things is come in like ready to be where you are, really understand the impact that you can have on young people and really pour into them. I always said that I wanted to be what I felt, okay, because I was young at the time. Felt like what I didn't have when I was in school. So relationships are a big thing for me. So really engage and be intentional in forming great relationships, not just with your student athletes, but with administration and all of the support staff that really invest in these young women and want them to succeed. But really just what, for me, it was just really honing in on listening to the student athlete, listening to these young ladies, and then also imparting with them, with the experience that I had, some information. And then for me, it's just, you're going to hear the truth from me. Take it how you want to take it. Use it if you want to use it, but you can't say you didn't know.
Yeah. You know what I love about that? A lot of people, we had a coach on here recently, and he was actually apologizing for what you just said, but literally everybody says it in their own way about being where you are, just locking in like where you're at. And what I love about what you're saying is you're treating players as building blocks instead of stepping stones. Like some coaches treat players as stepping stones. I'm going to do this for a little bit and then let me check my watch. And then in 2 years, I'm going to be out of here and I'm going to move on to the. Right. And so as opposed to using players as building blocks and helping them grow and pouring into them. And like you said, you know what you liked as a player, you know what you didn't like. So now you're getting a chance to fill in all those blanks in your own way. But it's such a great approach. And I think you're also saying young coaches glorify the things that might not bring you personal glory. Glorify the stuff when no one's watching, because everybody, because of this and social media, and everybody wants to be seen.
Yeah.
Sometimes coaches get into it worse than players do in terms of wanting to be, but taking glory in the things that don't maybe bring you personal glory. But if it's helping the players, you're always on the right track if it's helping the players.
That is good. Oh, no, definitely. Definitely. Definitely.
And the one thing that you have to make sure to note, too, is I feel like I have been having this conversation a lot more lately. After kids graduate, they go on and now they're in the real world. And yeah, you might have helped prepare them for that. But now it's a complete different dynamic because all they have known their whole life for the first 18 to 23, however, now it's probably like 25, 26 because people are doing extra years in college. But however many years, say they're 22, 23, all they've known for all those years is basketball, school, and maybe a couple other things, seeing their friends every day. The whole life and whole world changes. So is there anything like experiences or any advice that maybe you have given to past players just about the finishing basketball and then life after basketball? Is there anything that you have been able to either see or talk about with somebody to teach people after that's the ball is going to bounce or stop bouncing eventually?
I had to live it myself, but I think the biggest thing is trying to prepare them, like giving them the information, giving them the knowledge. Like I said, you can't say you didn't know. Trying to impart with them, hey, this is different. Like you're around people that are going to love on you, that are invested in you, that are going to give you second, third, fourth chances, but want to see you succeed. And when you go out in the real world, that's not quite the case at most times. So a lot of it is, you might be able to play after, which is great. And we're here to help you with that. But if you're not able to play, you know, we want to be able to help you with that as well and prepare you to be productive, to be professional, your look, your speak, how to conduct yourself professionally. And then I think the biggest thing is the young people think that it's going to continue on. I'm going to be playing. And sometimes that's the ball doesn't continue bouncing after college. And so just trying to get them engaged and thinking about what's next. What are the internships that you can do now to prep yourself for later when you graduate? I've gone through, like you said, some great programs. And there's always two or three that come at the end of the year, coach, can you help me? And I have to go back to the conversation that we had early on. Hey, this is why we spoke about this earlier. So we wouldn't be in this situation now. These are the times, this is the time for you to really make those connections, get those internships, talk to these people in the areas that you might be wanting to be in after you're playing. And I know that's something that young people don't want to have in their mind, that I'm going to have to go work. I'm not going to be playing basketball. I have to go and work. But just continuing to be in their ear. And even if they don't take that to heart early and they come to you for help later, we're still here to help them afterwards to make sure they get to where they need to be.
Yeah, I love you said that. I think hopefully coaches will pull from this that like it's never too soon to start that talk. Now, it can sometimes feel like it's too late to start that talk. Yeah. I think there is a point where maybe it is too late. Not that you can't revisit it, but I think starting it earlier is better. Because again, this is just another form of truth telling. Like people always think in coaching, like you're talking to players that you're telling them truth about their game or their minutes or their how they got to develop or how to fill the chuck holes in their skill set. That's part of the truth telling. But this is real world stuff. This is the other truth telling piece as well. It's important that and encouraging them like, hey, what do you enjoy? Because if you're going to work, try to find something that lights you up in the morning when you might get out of bed, as opposed to something that's going to have you hitting the snooze button three times and drudging getting in the car.
Yeah.
That's another big piece as well. What could be a passion that you might have?
Yeah. And a lot of these young people have a passion. Sometimes they just don't see themselves as anything other than a basketball player. And sometimes, yes, basketball is what you do and you do it well, but that's not who you are. So you determine who you are and the things that, you know, interest you and light you up. Those are the things we need to like delve into and see if you're not playing. And even after you're done playing, this is what, you know, I want to go ahead and pursue.
It's one of those conversations that I have had. It's a good conversation. And I've told the kids before, this is it's essentially, and I hate to say it, it's my job, but it's not technically a job. It's more you just want to see him succeed. And I know you said exactly that, but having going off of that, all of the positions that you have been a part of, I know it's all in the introduction that we essentially put, but like Dillard, Rhode Island, FIU, USF, FAU, Cleveland State, FSU now, just all of those different programs that you've been a part of. Have you noticed anything that helps maybe a program succeed in the long versus a program that you have seen like maybe struggle? And you don't have to necessarily go into a specific, but just you've seen things in one program that you see this is what makes it so successful. And you've seen another program where this one isn't so successful. Maybe this is a couple things that have brought this program down.
I can say, and I think this is just a part of my DNA as a coach, is the intentionality of relationship building. I think when the coach, the head coach, is intentional with the relationship building and getting to know these young people as who they are, not just a number on their chest, not just the stats that they are able to put up, but who they are as people. And the intentionality of that, I always go into every coaching situation that I've been in with that in mind. I have now, because I've been a mom for over 27 years, but one of the biggest things for me is really just making sure that these young people know that you care for them, that you care about what they like, that they don't like. And that means more to them than you patting them on the back saying that was a good shot. So for me, I've been places where the head coach wasn't really intentional with getting to know the players. And they appreciate the coaches that really get to know them as people, are truth tellers, that pour into them and give them the information that's going to help them determine whether or not, because I'm not telling anybody what to do. I'm just giving them the information so they can make the right decisions for themselves. But I think the intentionality of the relationships, I have a whole bunch of daughters from every stop that I've been that I'm so excited to say that I'm still involved in their lives. And if anything, they're getting a birthday text from me. So they're all from since Dillard to now. And that's a lot of young people that have come into my life and blessed me, and that I've had the opportunity to go and be a part of their journey as well. So I have a whole bunch all over the US and internationally. We have a whole bunch of daughters that my husband and I have welcomed into our family, and I don't think we could do it any other way. We're, again, servant leaders. We're about helping people, but it's been a great joy to be a part of their lives after they've left wherever I've been, or if I had left, which was a hard thing.
Yeah. So, what did being a head coach and now going back to being an assistant, like how did, this is a two-piece question. When you your first time you become a head coach, like what was your maybe wow moment that wow, this is what being a head coach is all about? Because it's one of those things like you don't really know till you do it. And then on the other piece of that is how has being a head coach made you a better assistant coach?
Okay.
Two piece chicken and biscuits, Popeye's question right there.
Yeah, so. We probably won't get too much into being a head coach because I was a head coach for 6 weeks.
There's still a wow moment in there, I bet.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, here's the wow moment. And I still am in contact with the then AD, Laura Courtney Todd, who saw in me as well that I was the right person for the job. And it was at an NAIA level as well. So I went from FIU to St. Thomas University. And again, it was a 6 week stint. I got in there. I tried to figure out what I needed to do. So it was like, even at that level, like you said, I had the opportunity to understand what it took to be a head coach. I understood it. Now doing it is different. But I understood what it took to be a head coach at that level at the NAIA, because it was just me and my husband and my daughter at the time was trying to get the office together, trying to figure out what players I had and what players I needed And then also trying to figure out, okay, once I get that together, what can I do to bring a staff in that had the same drive that I had? I never got that far. Yeah. Never got that far. And it wasn't because I wasn't capable. One of the biggest things, so great story, true story, 6 weeks. So I get in there and doing those things, trying to evaluate the talent that I did have and the talent that I needed. Had a workout before I had to go out recruiting, went out recruiting to see what am I bringing in. But at that time, I was calling the University of South Florida. Jose and I had struck up a pretty good relationship, friendship, him seeing me on the road, on the recruiting trail, and we were recruiting similar players. He picked my brain. And again, this is for young coaches as well. You never know who you're talking to for your next job. Because I wasn't looking, he was just asking me questions about what I thought about this player, what I thought about that player. Hey, we're recruiting some of the same players, even though we weren't the same level, but just my idea of the talent that I was looking at and that I liked and that I felt like I can recruit and bring them to FIU. But I was calling him about possibly getting some kind of exhibition or some kind of
scrimmage,
but I was trying to get paid.
Absolutely. No question. Let's build up this budget.
Yeah, just trying to figure some things out and hitting people that I had some sort of relationship with. And so let's say I went out that Thursday night, we got back. My husband was like my driver, getting me where I needed to be. And we were back in the office trying to get the office together. It was a family affair, just trying to get the office together. These are the things that we looked at. And that Thursday night, I got a call from Jose Fernandez from South Florida. So I'm thinking he's calling me, hey, I'm ready. Can we have this scrimmage? And one of the things that Jose had done in the past was tell me if I ever had a position on my staff that was open, you would be the first person that I call. He did that night. And he said, I know you just got this job. And I know you're that type of person that has to think this through. I know you just got this job, but I know you want to be eventually a Division I head coach. And I think you coming to my staff would jumpstart that. I'm like, okay, now you're saying this. These folks gave me this opportunity. So it was something to think about. He said, you don't have to rush, but I wanted to put it out there. This is what I'm trying to do. The job is yours if you want it. So I said, okay, I have to really think about it because yes, these folks trust me, believe in me, and offered me this opportunity to be a head coach at this great university. Going through the weekend, I'm thinking, okay, it's something that I really want to do. My mind is in two places because, again, Laura trusted in me that I can get this job done, and she allowed me the opportunity. Okay. Friday comes. I'm looking down the hallway waiting for Laura. Every day since I had been in the office, Laura was in around the same time I was in, which is the AD. And of course, when I need to get with her, she's not in the office. She hadn't come in the office.
Figures.
I'm waiting. Noon comes. She hadn't come in the office yet. So I call her. Hey, are you coming into the office? So she was doing all things that ADs do. She was in a helicopter ride doing a flyover of the university, but she was coming in. So when she did come in, I got with her and I just told her, hey, Jose called me. This is what he has proposed to me. You gave me this opportunity. I didn't want to go into the weekend. It wasn't a done deal. I hadn't decided. I didn't want to go into the weekend, continue the conversation with my family, my husband, and decide, and then come on Monday, tell you this is what I'm doing. So it was heavy on me. So she sat there, she looked at me, and she said, you need to take that job. Yeah, you need to take that job. I'm not pushing you out. I'm gonna still do my best to keep you here, but you need to take that job. It's the opportunity that you've been waiting for. When I say, a weight dropped off my shoulder because I was like,
no, that's a lot.
I do?
That's a lot now. Yes.
So again, I don't believe in coincidences. I don't believe that. It's a higher power. It's God speaking life into everything that me and my family have continually done. And so, yeah, she was like, yeah, take that. You need to take that job. And she said, I knew we weren't going to have you for long, but I didn't know it was going to be this quick. Yeah.
You go from, honey, let's get the office together, to, honey, let's pack up the office.
And yeah, and that's basically what happened. That's basically what happened. In 2 weeks, we had to pack up everything and get up to Tampa. And so, yeah, it was a whirlwind then, and it continues to fuel, hey, again, nothing is a coincidence. Everything is planned. Even when I don't see it happening, even when I feel it's not coming, it always does.
Yeah, I love what you said in there about, and again, hopefully coaches listening to this, I know our thing is called Rising Coaches, but Doug and I aren't about, we're not out pushing this person's a riser and this one isn't. We're not right. doing that. We're not playing that game. But I love what you said about just, you never know. You're having just an innocent conversation about players. And literally, you were probably, in Jose's mind, you were almost interviewing without knowing you were interviewing.
That is correct.
Just by having a conversation. Correct. So that whole thing about you just never know, this is why Doug and I, like, we love this, doing this pod, because, again, you can get a million X's and O's. I'm guilty. I was on YouTube yesterday looking at a clinic. And taking notes. I get it, but you can get that stuff anywhere. You cannot get these kind of stories and this type of real life, real time. This is how this happened. That's why we try to make this pod unique in that regard, because the storytelling, like, that's gonna encourage somebody. I like to use a phrase, sometimes your story might be somebody else's survival guide.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's going to be somebody that story hits right in the mouth at the right time while they're driving, while they're working out or whatever it is, because your thing that wasn't a coincidence for you, it's going to encourage somebody else. And that's not going to be a coincidence for them either. They're going to need to hear it right when they need to hear it. We don't know who that person is, but we know they're out there.
I got to say, too, that's off awesome. Of that, not knowing who you're talking to. I can give you exact off of that. That's 100% live proof. But then, heck, we had a guy on here who was an assistant coach at a Division I program. A couple months later, right, he ends up being my head coach, who I'm working for now. And we had him on the podcast. So it's like, I had no idea. Awesome. This guy that we're talking to on here, he ends up being my head coach. And then I end up getting hired by him and had no idea. So it's like that. You never know at what point things can work out. So, I mean, that's the best way to put it, exactly what you said. You're just having a normal conversation. Yeah. Next thing you know, you're getting the job opportunity that you've been hoping for all along.
Yeah. No, now, it was great.
Off of these stops, I guess one thing I want to make sure to ask as well is just, you touched on it before. Obviously, you want to look at the people that you know, and of course, getting somebody that you are familiar with and comfortable with working with. But when you're looking at going to that next stop, whether it's a head coach, whether it's an assistant coach, are there any things you look at in a school? Now, of course, everybody has different priorities, what they're looking for, different beliefs and so on. But is there anything that you particularly look for when you're looking for that next stop or you're looking for that next school? Anything that really stands out and grabs you?
I think one of the biggest things for me now is I'm not really looking. Opportunities, I think I'm making enough relationships and meeting enough people, or they're meeting me and knowing who I am and understanding not my philosophy, but just who I am and how I am with people. I think that speaks volumes with anyone that I touch or anyone that comes into my life and touches me. I think for me, though, as a married person with children, what I'm looking for, our family is looking for, is going to differ from what a young person just fresh into this, single, what they're looking for. So it always has been, ever since I gave birth to my daughter, it has always been the next move needed to make sense for our family in all aspects. Where we're going to live needed to be, like, depending on the school that was best fit for our daughter. and our son was already out of the household. A lot of the moves that we made was what is best for the family. And secondarily was, because the basketball will take care of itself. I'm going to be who I am. I'm going to continue to be intentional with relationship building. That's always a given. I'm going to always push them and develop on the court and off the court. So that's always a given. The things that you want to look for, I want to make sure too that I'm speaking the same language as my head coach. Is family important? Those kinds of things. How do you treat people? How do you talk to people? And then sometimes someone else's experience is not going to be your experience. You can hear some horror stories about some coaches, and that might not be my experience. So I always go into it in some different things that we have a checklist, and not necessarily a checklist, but just some things that we need to hear about people, or we need to hear from that person that can say, okay, this will be a great situation. Because you don't want to go somewhere, especially now for me in year 23, going into year 24. Some things are not like you just can't deal with, and non-negotiables, different stuff like that. So it's different. You got to figure out young people moving on, even older, as we're moving into next steps into our careers. You have to figure out those non-negotiables. What are the things that are going to allow you to enjoy who you're working for and who you're working with? Because at the end of the day, the basketball and the young people, if you're like me and you're intentional in relationship building and you enjoy seeing these young people achieve their goals and aspirations, that's going to be the greatest part of the job. But knowing that you're coming to work and you're working alongside people that believe the same thing that you do, it makes a difference.
100%. Yeah. It was funny. I mean, usually being around great people can help a job become a great job.
Oh my gosh.
Even if there's work to be done, but like great people can help a job become a great job. It's very hard for people that aren't so great to make a job better than it is.
That's correct.
Because it's hard enough to try to beat the other team by one point. And so if you're coming, if you have to deal with the people and the opponent, it's like that's two seasons in one. Like you have a season on the court, and then you got a season in the facility. If the people just don't align with what you're about and who you are. So and the great part is at this stage, you know what you know now. Like if you were young and you're a GA and you're hustling, I'm gone. I keep a bag right by the door. Somebody call me, I'm out. But at this stage, you've had enough experiences that have sifted out the gold from the sand.
Yes.
You know, and now that you know what the gold nuggets look like and what those nuggets mean to you. And so as a result, the right jobs are finding you as opposed to you having to go out and sniff around. But I love the phrase that your gifts have made room for you. And that's what's happened.
I love that phrase.
Yeah.
No, that's phenomenal. And honestly, that's definitely something. I'm glad you started it out, and I wasn't trying to set you up like that, I promise. But I'm glad you started out saying, I'm not looking, I'm actually enjoying where I'm at. But then, because that gives a perfect summary as to how people should do about it, because exactly like you guys are mentioning, there's a lot of, you take a position and you're already thinking, okay, this can lead me into my next one, at least for a young coach. I'll be the first one to say on my first coaching position, that's exactly what I was looking into. And then after realizing the authenticity you have to be in it, it's be present in it, and the successes will take you.
Yes.
I've noticed that, at least for myself. So that's phenomenal advice to be able to share with people.
Yes, it is definitely a truth. It is a truth.
So now, taking everything full circle, right? We are currently at FSU, but looking back all the way to Dillard, and really, I guess we'll say starting at Dillard, if there was any advice you could give coach, young coach, let me rephrase that, young coach Desmond, you're still young, don't get me wrong.
Thank you.
I apologize. Thank you. I apologize. I caught myself.
First out.
But being fresh into the coaching world, okay, if there's any advice you could give your young coaching self in your first position at Dillard, what would that advice be to yourself?
I can say this. Dillard and Coach Mark Cook probably was one of the best first jobs that any young coach could have ever been able to be a part of. For everything that I said from earlier, when him allowing me to spread my wings and knowing what I knew then didn't prepare me for after I left there because of who he was. And not everybody is that way. I had to learn that. And so after Dillard, what I want to say to young people, if you're not with a Mark Cook that allows you to learn on the go, pour into you, continue to push you to do more, be better, had that like Uncle Mark mentality, he never made me feel uncomfortable with what I thought I knew. All right. I think one of the biggest things too, because I fell into it a little bit, is never doubt yourself. Never allow yourself to shrink because someone else doesn't believe in you. I had some moments of doubt, but at the end of the day, what I know is what I know. I continue to learn. I'm passionate about what I do. I'm passionate about these young people. And never allow somebody to make you feel, to shrink yourself and make you feel like you don't know or you're not capable.
I love it.
Great.
She's That's preaching. Great. Get the offering plate, man. Let's pass around the offering plate after that. My goodness.
But honestly,
I had a coach that used to tell players, and it applies to coaches in a sense. He used to tell players, and one of my all-time favorite phrases, he would say, my confidence puts you in the game, but your confidence keeps you in it. But that also is fitting for what you say as coaches too. Someone's confidence gives you an opportunity, but then your own confidence helps you sustain that opportunity.
Until excel.
Until exactly right. Until whatever happens next. But that's, yeah. Oh, that's, couldn't say it any better. So she just put a ribbon on the whole deal with that right there.
Tie it up. That was phenomenal. Coach, thank you very much. We say it to everybody, but truthfully, we genuinely mean, for me, Alan, and of course the Rising Coaches, like everybody listening, for you to be able to give time. Of course, this is busy time. There's a lot going on. I'm sure there's a lot of traveling and whatnot. But for you as a mother, as a coach, as just somebody who has been in the industry for so long, there's definitely somebody who will be able to learn from your experiences, because I'm sure somebody's going through the same things, similar things right now. So thank you for giving us the time to be able to share your experiences. And we're just grateful to be able to chat with you for the time that we did.
Again, thank you. I'm grateful that you guys allowed me to be on this podcast.
No, you, this was fantastic. Like I said, it's going to hit somebody right when they need it. We take great peace and confidence in that, because there's somebody out there that always needs to hear things that you shared today, especially just personal experience. No, we appreciate it. Yeah. Tell Coach Luke, Alan Major said, what's up. So
I will. Yeah, he's awesome. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's really good. Happy for him.
Yeah.
And we look forward to seeing how FSU coming up this upcoming season. We'll definitely make sure to keep some tabs and keep some eyes on you too.
On both of us?
Of course.
Yes. No doubt.
On the team, especially, on the program.
Especially the women. I love Luke. He's a great dude. But hey, you got two new fans today after this. My goodness. Oh,
thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, for everybody out there,
I appreciate you guys.
Yes.
Of course. Likewise. And thank you to everybody listening and tuning in for another episode, Rising Coaches Podcast. As always, Alan Major, Doug Caputo, all you coaches out there, keep working and keep rising. We'll talk to you all soon. Take care.
Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines.
I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.